Well, hello, witches and beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Bell Witch Podcast, episode 22. I am Swales, a friendly green witch, helping you get witching in the 21st century. So thank you for joining me. I appreciate your ears. I am buzzing because I set up my Patreon and a bunch of people joined. So now I'm getting a little bit of funding. Thank you so much for joining. And let me take a moment to personally welcome in my first ever Patreon subscribers. In no particular order, we have Alex with an exclamation mark, Jill Wild Manning, Martina D. Badger Badger, Laura Whitelock, Bex Laffer, Rachel, AJ, Beverly Thornton, who just happens to be the official photographer of the Bellwitch podcast, and Sue Short. Thank you so much for taking a chance and being my very first Patreon subscribers. I am absolutely chuffed that you've joined me. It's just amazing that you like me enough and you like the show enough to give us a little bit of dosh. I just had to take a moment then to stand away from the mic and do a little scream, a little squeal with delight, but I've edited it out because it was a bit sharp on the old lugs there. I don't want to give you a headache before we've even started the episode. I hope you enjoyed the last one. It was a bit weird. It was my psychic mum episode. It ended up taking me on a bit of an unexpected journey of self-realisation and self-healing, if I'm honest. But I've ended up listening to it a few times, kind of like as an observer and a listener rather than the storyteller. And that has helped me loads. And that's surprising. I didn't think it would help me as much as it did. And also, I guess I've got a new appreciation for just how incredible these stories are. And I got the magazine out and I read it. And then I also did a bonus Patreon episode with it, so I read it out, recorded it and put it on, and then I kind of did a bit of commentary about, you know, how it was to tell somebody my story and get it edited and what is actually really true in the story and what is fabricated. So that's quite a nice little bonus insight for Patreon subscribers there. But yeah, it was just amazing, really. It took me on a complete unexpected little healing journey, and I'm so glad I didn't bottle it and delete it at the end, because I almost did. So yeah, thanks for being a part of that, and thank you for all the lovely messages I received from you as well, saying how much they like the sound of my mum and how they appreciate who I am because of my past, and thanking me for sharing. I mean, all these comments and messages, they mean so much to me, so much, you know, and I love connecting with my audience. So yeah, thank you for that. Ooh, what else can I tell you? I'm just feeling really humble, really, that things are happening, that my little Tuesdays up at the Crystal Booth are taking off. So now I'm doing a bit more Reiki than I was last Tuesday. I was so busy. So thank you, universe. And if you're coming for a Reiki treatment from me, you know, I really appreciate you giving me a chance and trusting me with Reiki, because, you know, it's a big deal and it's a personal service that I offer. And I absolutely love being a Reiki practitioner. It's another passion of mine. Right, so that's all the mushy stuff out of the way. What's going on with this episode then, I hear you ask me? Well, in this episode, it is a moot loot episode where the guest comes along and shares pearls of wisdom and gems of knowledge with me, all about an area of their expertise and their passion. In this episode, my guest is Sarah Parker from Forgotten Forest. I know Sarah through the amazing witchy community that's around Yorkshire, which is just so full of lovely souls that I happen to know and work with. She's pretty awesome. She's got her own little woods where she lives in the back of a house. And she runs these fantastic little workshops for kids and adults alike. I think I met her through another witchy friend, so we're all connected in the circle of life. She's a fantastic guest, and she tells us about how it is to own a forest and how she got there, the surprising U-turn she took on her own teaching journey, her own career. And then we just have a bit of a chinwag about how it is to be a witch. I mentioned jogging because I've just finished Couch to 5K. I've actually completed it, which is amazing. And I'm going to buy myself some flowers because I'm right chuffed to myself. But yeah, if you are considering doing the Couch to 5K, the BBC/NHS one, I can absolutely vouch for it. I started, 9 weeks ago, and it hasn't been easy, but I've sailed through the whole 9 weeks, one after the other one. Well, I say sail, it's like on torrential storm sea. It's not been easy, but I've made it. And at the time of recording, I've got one run left, which is tomorrow. And then I'm hopefully going to stick to running 5K. So yeah, if you're looking to change your life, to start a new year thing, to get healthy and just move more and see the sun and look after your mental health and your physical health, I can absolutely recommend sign up to it. It's free and you'll be amazed at what you can achieve with the correct training, because it's made for people who aren't used to jogging, who've never attempted jogging or don't have belief in the self. That is who it's designed for. So if you're thinking about it, this is your sign to download it and get it going, witches. Ooh, podcast pals. Did you hear? In my previous episode, I had a trailer from another podcast called Haunted UK Podcast. These guys are awesome because they're always asking for swapsies, you know, for trailers. So I sent mine over and they sent theirs over, and I've always listened to them because, you know, I love my ghosties, don't I? It's a really professional, high-spec British podcast. So for my podcast pals intro, I suggest you go hop over and have a look at the old Haunted UK podcast. It's really good. They do these little mini episodes called short haunts between the main episodes. And who might have sent a story in? I wonder who that could be. I think the last one is about ghosts in the NHS and emergency services. So if that kind of rocks your boat, I suggest you go over there and give it a little listen. Anyway, without any further ado, I shall zip it up now and we'll roll the interview. This was before Christmas, quite well back. So things have progressed slightly since we spoke, but it doesn't make too much of a difference. And do check Sarah out on her website, which is forgottenforest.net. And everything she talks about, you'll be able to find on her website. Welcome, Sarah of the Forgotten Forest, to the Bellwitch podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I really appreciate that. This is the first time I've ever done a podcast, so it's quite exciting.
First of many. You're going to tell us about your plans and what you do and who you are. And
gosh, where to start? So I'm Sarah and I have a business called Forgotten Forest. It's mainly in the woods and in the cabin in my woods. And I run all kinds of different events that are all about connecting yourself to nature and connecting to yourself. I run events for adults, for children, for families, a lot of forest school based events and story themes. And then a lot of women's circles, well-being events, shamanic things, witchy solstice kind of events as well. So all sorts of stuff I do, really. But it all has the main reason of, you know, connecting to yourself and connecting to nature. So let me tell you a little bit about me. So all those years ago, I started off doing a psychology degree, and then I moved on and did teaching. And I was a primary school teacher for a long time, and I did love it. I love learning new things. I love teaching. I love working with children. But things changed a little bit and the system changed. It wasn't really working for me. And then I had my own children. In fact, it was just before I'd realized that I'd gone through everything that society wanted me to do, and I still wasn't happy. So I'd got the degree, I'd got the job, I'd got the house, the car, ticked all the boxes that I was supposed to have. And I thought, this can't be it. I'm still not happy. And realizing the things that really made me happy was being outside, being in nature. And I just thought, that's what I need to do. So everyone thought I was mad. I quit my job. I'd quit teaching. I'd worked my way up as well into Senko and like leadership. And then I just started a forest school business, playing outside, getting kids outside, back into nature, because they just don't play as much as I used to as a child. And then once that had picked up, started moving on and doing adult groups and full moon and new moon events. I haven't looked back since. It's lovely being able to work on my own timetable and work close to nature and do all the things that I love, which does involve a lot of spiritually witchy kind of stuff as well. I run witchy stuff with Sam from Black Cat and Cauldron, and I've done things, I've done my witches course with Louise from The Wiccan Lady. So I think there's lots of links between us, isn't there, with things like that that we've done. So yeah, what else should I tell you?
Did you just so happen to have a forest in your backyard?
No, I didn't actually. It just all perfectly aligned at the right time. So I had quit my job and I was working in different woods and moving everything around, lugging it around. And I really did enjoy it because I got to work in some beautiful places. And just as the winter came, the woodland, which was an old piece of railway line, came up for auction. And yeah, all fell into place, started working from there. And then it slowly progressed and got bigger and cleared more of the brambles, got a little cabin. Yeah, it's lovely. All just aligned just perfectly.
That's amazing. That's the universe at work right there.
It is, yeah. And so I know that the universe has been at work a couple of more things, but it's taken me a while to get, I suppose out of my comfort zone and to do some of the other stuff that I want to do. You know, you can always think, oh, I'll be ready when this happens or when that happens. And I'm like, okay, I've had enough signs. I'm waiting for a signy sign. I'm just going to do it. So I've done all sorts of qualifications like meditations, mindfulness, shamanic practitioner, Reiki, the list goes on. But all of these things that I've learned and things that I've lived through that I know that helps me as well, and it's helped my well-being to regulate my nervous system, and all other things like crafting and gut health, somatics, just all these kind of things that I'm going to have been bringing into my offerings. Well, I know they've helped me and I know they've helped people that have come. And I was doing them in person and I love doing them in person. But now I've realised there's so many people in a similar situation than me. I'm a solo mum. You can't always have the time. Life's busy. You sometimes work shifts. Sometimes you just don't want to leave the comfort of your own home either, which is also fine. So what I'm going to be offering very shortly, I've started it now, is a membership, the Forgotten Tribe Wild Women. And it's all about well-being and it's all about connecting to yourself and connecting to nature. And it's going to have a toolkit of all the things that you might want to dip into when you're feeling a bit down. I know winter's hard, isn't it? And a lot of people get seasonal affective disorder and Christmas has been crazy. So it's just lovely to have something when you want. Lots of the things will be live, so you can join live if you prefer it like that. But then they'll also be recorded and they'll be on there so you can watch in your own time, and there'll be a toolkit of well-being things to help you as well. So yeah, it's going to be like a membership and a community and support. And then of course the real life ones are coming. So if you want to come in real life, then that's still a possibility too. My membership, all about well-being and incorporating all the lovely stuff.
So this is new for 2024?
It is, yeah.
And how do we join? Where do we go?
So it's on, I'm not very techie, but it's on a platform, like a website platform, and everything's on there. And there's links, and I put it all on my social media, on Forgotten Forest, on Facebook and Instagram, and I send it out in my mailing list. And there's a link, and you can join and you can sign up.
Oh, excited. You do so much. I see on social media all your calendar, and that's just like, wow, she is a busy lady. And you're a single mum as well. So impressive.
I mean, it doesn't feel, if you look at my timetable and you think, oh, it's busy, but it's only like 2 hours here, 3 hours there. So it's not massively overloaded, but although there is a lot of prep and other work, and keeping up with the maintenance of the forest takes a while as well. But my dad is retired now and he loves that job, to be honest.
Oh, that's handy. Yeah, because you do forest schools, don't you, with other kids?
I do, yeah. And I do a lot of foraging courses as well. So that's going to be covered in my membership as well. There's going to be a lot of foraging things, a lot of crafting, all the things that I know are really good for us. I do feel that we should be living like we did hundreds of years ago, in a tribe, in a community, sitting, talking around a fire. Everybody has their own unique jobs and we all have a purpose. And we talk about things, we make decisions together, you eat good food around the fire. So that's what I'm all about, and bringing all that in. Then I do some lovely meditations and sound healing, and a place where you can talk openly and vulnerably about anything that you need to get it off your chest, because we don't always have that space in society. Everybody's always busy and rushing, and we don't always listen to really listen. It's sometimes just listening to answer back, almost, in a way. So having that space is really valuable.
Yeah, it's some beauty in holding a circle and having people come to a space and just do nothing but listen to each other. Do nothing but listen, but also you don't have to fix stuff. I think people feel they've got to offer advice. I really like circles because a lot of them they say, we're not here to fix, we're just here to listen. I really like that. I've been lucky enough to go to one of your events. I think it was last year.
Yeah.
In Sarah's Forest. It's in Brighouse, isn't it? Is that right?
It is, yeah. Yeah, Bailiff Bridge in Brighouse, yeah.
And it was a beautiful event. I think it was a witchy circle we did. And I particularly loved your little cabin, and we all sat around and did cards and stuff. The highlight was the fire, and the soup on the fire were just, oh, you get food, people, you get food. That I loved it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what we should be doing, shouldn't we? All eating together, and we just don't have the time to do that. Because I forage a lot, I often make forage things like nettle soup and nettle cake as well. And all sorts of other stuff, which adds another lovely element to the circle.
I think it was mushrooms soup. Was it mushroom soup?
Was it more? Yeah, it could have been. Or maybe a risotto as well. I think I made a risotto sometime last year as well.
Oh my God, I'm hungry. Sarah, do you consider yourself a witch?
Do you know, I really did consider myself a witch. And it's not that I don't consider myself a witch anymore, but I've gone down a path of shamanic practitioner and healing, which incorporates witch as well. So now I'm less concerned about the labels. And for me, witch is all about nature, isn't it? Connecting to yourself, connecting to who you are, connecting to the earth, not looking for something outside yourself, knowing that it's all inside you already. So yeah, I think I probably do, but also I'm loving the shamanic stuff as well at the moment, which does closely link to each other.
It does, yeah. No, I know a lot of witches that are also shamans. You do the drumming.
Yes. I drum, I do shamanic healing and shamanic journeying, and I do all sorts of healings for other people, ancestral healing and, yes, soul retrieval, depossessions, all sorts of amazing things.
And people can come to them.
Yeah, definitely. And the witchy events as well that I run, which are always around the turning of the year or the Sabbats. I always put something on there, sometimes for the children as well, but always for an adult, for the adult ones as well. And then we do real ceremony and ritual type things then, and always crafts.
The witchy crafts. What would you say is your favourite type of event or circle that you run? Can you pick one or two?
So I haven't done very many of these, but I really like offering like goddess ceremonies when you're really, really deep in circle. Like there's no talking. We just come and I drum and open up the circle and we just sit and just, yeah, really connect to ourselves with meditation. And then we go in and do like blindfold dancing and shamanic journey while you're on your mat, and you stay on your mat and you just, yeah, it's really, I take you on like a drumming journey with music and really connect to shamanic healing. It's so good. So that's probably my favorite, but I love the women's circles that I run, and I don't know how I do it, but I fit so much in. It's crazy. So we start off around the fire. We do a grounding meditation, and usually it'll be around the full moon or the new moon. So I'll talk about the full moon and the new moon and how that can be affecting us, where the planets are and what that brings up for us. Then we will set intentions and we'll all share our intentions, and then we'll do a burn and release ceremony. So anything that we no longer want to take in for the next month with us, we'll burn that. And that can be stuff like procrastination or self-doubt, and throw that into the fire. Then we'll go into the cabin and we'll sit down, we'll get all the sage out to cleanse the energy, tuning forks to tune us in, and then we'll drink cacao, which is a heart-opening medicine. It's like the rawest form of chocolate. So we'll all drink that, sit in circle, we'll just have the candles on, and then we'll go around and we all talk openly and freely, just like what we'd mentioned before. You can say whatever you want. It's a safe space, so everything that's said in the circle stays in the circle. You know, you don't have to talk if you don't want to, but if you do, you can do. But I always feel like there's magic in just sharing it, getting it off your chest. There's no judgment, and people don't give advice. They don't say anything. You've just got to listen. And hearing other people's stories and knowing that you're not the only one going through hard times, or when someone shares something positive, celebrating their positives as well, is really amazing. Then after that, there's more. We will do a craft, maybe spell jars, we've made lip balms, soaps, bath bombs, all sorts of things that we've done, incense, candles, making leather bound books. There's so many different crafts that we've done. And then we'll do a sound healing, because I have some crystal balls, so we'll do some sound healing, and then a yoga nidra, and then afterwards we'll pull oracle cards for guidance and finish off with fire and cake and soup soup around the fire and cake, and then before you know it, it's time to go. So yeah, they're really lovely.
Are they 2 hours?
They tend to end up about 3.
I was going to say, I was like, what?
Yeah, 3 hours they are. And sometimes, well, it depends how many people come. So sometimes they've been like 8 people, which has been lovely. And then sometimes they've been like 12. And it just depends how much people want to share and how much people have got to say to how long it goes on. But yeah, do try and finish for 10. So we can all get into bed at a reasonable time. And so many people are like so relaxed then, and they're like, oh, you should do a sleepover one.
Camping? Have you done a camping one?
I haven't done a camping one, no.
Have you ever camped up there just on your own with your kids? Or...
Yeah, on my own I have, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I don't have that kind of permissions from the councils, unfortunately. That's a whole different minefield.
Of course, yeah. No, I didn't think of that. You'll only be allowed to do certain stuff, won't you?
It all comes under well-being. And when people have come around, like health and safety inspectors, which I had just last week, actually, they're like, oh, what do you do? And I'm just like, I try and explain. And they're like, oh, is it like yoga? And I'm like, yeah, like yoga.
Everything's like yoga. For people who don't know about spirituality, everything is similar to yoga.
Yeah, there's no point explaining this one. It's... too far out there. She was like, oh, what's Reiki? And I was like, have you heard about energy healing? She was like, looked at me blank, and I was like, I'll just leave this one.
How long have you got?
Yeah.
It's no secret that I love podcasting. It's an absolute joy to create, and it's kind of become a way of life for me. Since becoming a podcaster, my internal healing has been huge. I now like my voice and I enjoy creating content, and it's nice to know that people actually come here to listen to what I have to say. And when you start to feel good on the inside, you also start to feel good on the outside too. But then beginning a podcast can be a little bit daunting, and one of the big decisions you've got to make is choosing which platform to use to distribute your amazing new show, which you're dreaming up right now. I chose Zencastr. And it provides high quality audio and video podcast production and hosting. Podcasters can seamlessly record, produce and publish. Log in using your browser and start recording high quality podcasts right away. And up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recording in the highest quality, even if the connection is poor and unstable. Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. If you've thought about podcasting before and realised that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. You can create your podcast and distribute to Spotify, Apple Podcasts and all other major platforms. If you are interested in joining me on this amazing podcasting lifestyle, you can go to zencaster.com/pricing and use the official Bellwitch podcast offer code, which is Bellwitch, Bellwitch. You'll get 30% off your first month. That's zencaster.com/pricing, code Bellwitch to get 30% off. Find my offer link in the show notes. Being a creator has never been easier.
Is there anything you can tell us that's quite surprising about having your own forest? Stories of owning one, or what have you got to do to keep it well? I mean, you haven't got grass, you don't need to like lawnmower it, do you?
No. Some of the boring things that you've got to do, you've got to do tree service and you've got to check that the trees are healthy and the trees are safe. And then if there's any branches that are going to fall, you've got to cut them back. But yeah, the good things about owning your own woods is, so lucky for me, it's just right on my doorstep. Just having that lovely time to just walk and ground yourself and connect to nature. And because I'm quite a keen forager, what I do is every year, well, I have done it already this year and I still will do, is like collect seeds. I don't have things growing in my woods and then sprinkle them out. So then the next year I'll get those kind of plants growing. And I love doing that.
Aww.
One day I'll have everything that I need growing in my woods as well. All the medicines will all be growing there. Oh, yeah, animals. Yeah, definitely get a lot of animals. I've got a really cheeky fox that is so brave. Like once I was there with Sam, I think, at the time before we'd done one of the witchy events. And this fox just came and just stood there and stared at us and nicked the loaf of bread still in the packet and just ran off. And we were like shout, thinking, we'll scare it. It's going to run away. It was not scared at all. It just like looked at us and just thought, yeah, whatever. Just ran off with a whole loaf of bread. And we were like, we aren't having bread with the soup tonight, are we?
It's got that balls of steel.
Yeah. Well, I think some of the locals feed the foxes. So they're so comfortable around humans now. They're not even bothered. They're just expecting it. So that's why it probably nicked the bread. I don't have chickens at the moment, but I've had chickens a lot in my life and kept them because I love chickens and I love getting fresh eggs. But Mr. Fox has always been keen on eating my chickens too. And it's so hard to keep them safe when it's in a woods. And they've all, like, I've dug fences down under the ground and they've got things over the top to keep them safe. But the fox, they're so clever. They always find a way in. There's badgers. There's an owl that I keep hearing, which is really lovely. I haven't seen it. And there's deer. And I've only seen the deer once. And it was like a mother and her baby. And they were just sleeping in, there's some grassland between some of the trees. And it was like, when they left as well, it had like a lovely imprint of where the deers had been sleeping. It was so nice.
That's well cute. So good for your mental health. I can just imagine if I had a wood in my yard, I'd be there every single day.
Definitely. When, like, sometimes I'll be getting the kids ready and everything will be stressful. I've got my to-do list going on. And then I'll go up and I'm like, right, I need to go up. I need to let my chickens out. And I'll go up in the woods and it's like, I've forgotten everything that I need to do. I'm just like really present, really peaceful, really still. It's so lovely. And then I'm like, oh yeah, real life. Real life can be like that. We're taught that it doesn't have to be, and it can be. It can be whatever you make it. Everything that I've done so far has involved me making my life work for me. It's not conventional in any way or form. I don't work 9 to 5. I don't even send my children to school. I home educate them and they go to all different sorts of events. So I've worked everything out perfectly for us, connecting to nature. And yeah, it's so lovely.
Oh, you're so inspiring. It's lovely. But it's nice. I mean, I think a big part of what I do, like paganism and stuff, is learning that real life can be, you know, like around nature, because we're all just so into screens and the internet, and it does drain your soul. So I make an effort to start jogging. Just gonna put that in there. Start jogging, and I absolutely love it because I do it straight away after the school run, and it's almost been sunny every day I've done it. You know, and you always think, oh, the weather's crap because we don't go out in it.
It always looks worse through the window, does the weather, doesn't it?
It does. And it's made my well-being so better because it's cold and it's frosty, but the sun is shining and I see birds and and I see foxes. It's funny you should bring foxes up. Just this past few weeks, I've just seen foxes a lot crossing my path at night when I'm walking home, and people are talking about foxes and people pulling me fox cards. And so there must be a message in there for me.
Definitely.
I don't know what foxes mean, do you?
Do you know what? I don't. I should actually know that. I know so many others, especially on the like shamanic side. And I'm just thinking, I've got a really good book about all the spirit animals, but it's up in the woods now in the cabin, and I'm not. There's actually a childminder group running in my woods at the moment right now, so I can't even nip up and get it. But I'll let you know. But yeah, foxes are so beautiful, and what I do know is that they are a protective force. I think there's a lot related to magic with them, and they're so mischievous, aren't they? But they're so skillful as well, and self-assured, like that fox nicking the bread. So there's a lot of messages from foxes. They're so fearless, and they can handle any situation, can't they? Really dynamic and intelligent, full of wisdom. So yeah,
self-reliant. I think there's a lot of the survivors, and they can live really well off the earth and find what they need, and more than just sly. It's such an old-fashioned rubbish definition.
Full of wisdom, aren't they? They're amazing, really. So many species we've lost, and to still have the fox, it just shows just how adaptable and changeable it is to the situation surrounding it.
Is there anything else you want to add?
Well, you just mentioned jogging there. It's so good for you, isn't it? So many times when we're thinking about our well-being, and especially if you're into spiritual things, you can do all this meditation. And I know for me, this is true, actually. I've done all the inner work, all the shadow work, looking at myself, all my repeated patterns, why I am like I am, and almost thinking, right, I've done all this work, and thinking, actually, that's enough. But you've got to think about your body as well, haven't you? Because it's what we live in, and we need to keep that healthy. And I have from time to time done exercise in my life, but I'm really into at the moment strength training, something that I never thought I would ever do. Yeah. And I've been doing it a little while now, maybe since my 40th birthday, which is September. I've never seen as much progress or results so quickly as doing strength training, because I actually, cardio is quite hard, isn't it? It exhausts me.
It's definitely a long-term commitment.
It is. And you can think of all the excuses, but being there for yourself and taking that time is amazing. There's so many benefits. I didn't get diagnosed with this because I had a hair analysis test, so it's not a doctor's diagnosis, but when I had a hair analysis test, I was really tired, and I was like, I'm doing all the things that I should be doing. I'm eating really well. What is going on? And I had a hair analysis test by a lady called Nicola Lonsdale in Leeds, and she came back to me with all the results. And what I had is adrenal gland fatigue and underactive thyroid. And I had no idea. I was like, I didn't even know I was stressed. Because you just live in this. This is what I do. This is what I'm always doing. I'm not stressed. And then I had to look at myself and think, oh yeah, I'm creating stress for myself here. And there was the thyroid thing, thinking that makes you really tired. It messes with your hormones. I was thinking, and I probably still am as well, that I must be perimenopausal the way I was feeling. And it's all down to hormones still, is your thyroid. And that really looked at the minerals in my body. I had really high calcium. And I can't remember the other two, and low something else. I changed my diet. Even though it was healthy, it wasn't including some of the things that I should have. But I think because I've always followed probably fad diets all my life, really, and that's not really helped me. But yeah, having that hair analysis really did. And then turning 40 and starting strength training has been, made such a difference to my well-being, as well as all the mindfulness and meditation. There's so many different ways, isn't there? So many tools that can work for you. But moving your body is so important, and it doesn't have to be strength training like I'm doing. That's just something that I'm enjoying at the moment. So you've got to enjoy it. But even just walking in nature, it's all good for you, isn't it? You're getting that vitamin D, although I'm not sure how much vitamin D we're getting right now at this time of year, but Yeah, it's so important to look after your body and your well-being through exercise. And I've been offering a few of those, and I'm hoping to more and more offer, like, not just yoga classes, but I've got a friend who does, it's called the Power Hour, Graham is called, and we did like a cacao ceremony. Then we did a workout and then sound healing, and it was just so lovely. I was like, this is the kind of workout I want to be doing.
I think I saw that. Was it recently?
Yeah, it was. It was the first one. So we're going to add a few more dates. So, yeah, it was really good. I was like, this is the kind of workout I want. Nice sound healing, cacao ceremony to start. I mean, it was still hard.
I think it's something to do with age. I mean, I'm 38 and something's clicked to me like, okay, I need to stop messing about. I need to stop being well with me. I'm feeling really good about myself for the first time in my life, I would say. And then jogging is like a knock-on effect because I've never run in my life. I've never jogged. I've never been interested. When people go like, oh, I'm addicted to jogging, I was always going like, eh? What? Is that a thing? Don't believe you.
All those dopamine and serotonin, it does affect all your feel-good hormones in your body, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I like to do it solo because I listen to me, because I'm doing couch to 5K. The woman tells, you know, like when to stop and when to run. And then I have my music on too, just like a jogging mix. And it's like meditating, isn't it? You get into a zone where I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just running automatically. And I really, really connect with that moment. And it's quite hard to achieve. You've got to be jogging for a while before it kicks in. But when it kicks in, it's like, oh my God, I'm flying.
I mean, there's so many ways to meditate, isn't there? I know myself, when I try and meditate and I'm like trying to get focused in and like clear my mind, something will just come in at the back of my head and like override me. And I'm like, oh, that's not meditating because it's still sneaked in there. But when you're moving your body and you're doing something and you're so in the zone, you can really get into it there, can't you? And your mind is blank and empty and you're just moving. And there's all sorts of other stuff you can do, like crafting. I know journaling works really well for me. And sometimes I don't know what to write. But getting it all out of my head, and even if I don't write, just starting writing, because then no secret sneaky thoughts can come in. It's just straight out. There's so many different ways to take care of ourselves, isn't there? We've just got to find what works for us.
Yeah, it's like morning pages, isn't it? I think that's how they work, because you empty your mind out. And I'm going to do an episode on the Ice Way, just because that was like the catalyst for changing my life. And I really, really love the Ice Way now, and I still do morning pages. But there is a misconception that meditating, you have to be laid down, you have to be still, you have to have your eyes closed and deep breathing and stuff. And yeah, a lot of it is that, but for me, jogging and driving as well, you know, like if you drive somewhere, you drive all the time, so you do like mindless driving, that to me, that's a form of meditation. I do mindless driving often and I love it.
Yeah, whatever you need to do. I know the father of my children, wood turns, and that's his meditation, turning wood. And that's the thing that gets him in the zone. So there's all different ways, isn't there?
I get it.
Yeah, it's so therapeutic. But yeah, the things that I'm going to offer in my membership is going to have a whole range of the different things that you can use. And you just, you know, tune in and find what works for you, which is what life's about. And I'm going to use all the things that have worked for me, all my experiences, all my qualifications. I can't just learn something. I have to get qualified in it. I have to go. I can't just do something half and half. I've got to go 100%. So, yeah, I think it's time now to share all that knowledge with others. And hopefully the people that join will find some uses out of it and help them in some way, even if it's just one person. Then it's worth it, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a bit like that with this show. It's like if a few people listen every month, it's worth it.
Little things like that can change somebody's life so much, can't they, for the positive. And sometimes you don't even know the impact that you might have. It might be just a small little thing and you've said, and it can change someone's life in such a positive way, like you will, I'm sure you will be doing on this podcast. And it'll grow and grow and it'll be amazing.
Oh, I love doing it. Addicted to it. I think about it all the time, though. Like my whole life is like, oh, what can I do for this? Oh, I could totally say that on the podcast. Let me write it down.
It's so good that you're doing it. I have, it probably is a witch wound here. Well, I'm a lot better, but I've had to practice getting out of my comfort zone and speaking. I've always spoke publicly for my job, like, in a classroom, in a school hall, in front of teachers. But then when it's about something so personal to me, it's definitely, I can feel that like throat chakra blocks, like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this. But I think getting out of your comfort zone is the best place to grow, isn't it? And thinking, oh, why am I like that? Why do I feel that? And then going back, oh yeah, it's because of this happened in my childhood, or somebody said this and then I thought my truth wasn't worthy of speaking. It's so important to just say it, because it helps, doesn't it? And get it out there. For so long, I wasn't sharing my voice, and it's amazing to see you that you're doing it. And I mean, it definitely does still feel uncomfortable for me sometimes, which people will always find shocking, especially because I'm always talking, but it's a different context, isn't it?
It's the risk, isn't it? It's the risk of sharing stuff. I mean, with me as well, from my childhood, I got laughed at a lot all the time because I was always the fat kid, you know, the fat weird kid that nobody really wanted to play with, and I wasn't very confident and I wasn't very happy, to be honest. So it took me a long time to be brave enough to say stuff and not be worried that I'm going to get laughed at. And you always have it in you, but you give it less and less space, don't you?
Yeah, you've got to hold that fear, take that fear by the hand, haven't you, and just do it anyway. And usually it's all in our head, isn't it? It's not real. Nobody thinks like that. Nobody's bothered, really. They're concerned about their own things that are going on. They're not worried about what we're doing, really.
That is true. Yeah, they are. People perceive you so different to how you perceive yourself. And I remember even starting this podcast in March, and I was really nervous, you know, like on the first ever video call with my friend who were doing it together, Jodie. Like, I could feel myself shaking. It's like, why is that? You know, she's my friend and we're in the same boat. We're doing the same thing together. Why am I so nervous? And I'm not like that anymore because practice helped. But also, yeah. I talk about this a lot, you know, when you edit yourself continuously and you always hear your own voice, and then you suddenly realise you sound all right, and you notice how you talk and your behaviours, and you get clearer and you get more confident. And so doing a podcast has helped me heal so massively. It's amazing. Do a podcast.
Do you know, when you had asked about podcasts, I'd said yes, hadn't I, a while back, and I hadn't done it for ages because I was like, do I even have anything to say?
Just talk. No, it's good. It flows, but I can totally see a Forgotten Forest podcast from the forest sounds. How cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, how I'd fit that in as well, I'm sure.
I know,
could.
Yeah.
It's the editing thing as well that's overwhelming. Maybe we need to have another talk, like, show me how to do this. It's probably not as bad as I think, because even when I started my membership, it's the thought of things with everything, isn't it? With all those expectations and preconceived ideas of what something is, and then you do it and you realize, actually, it's not that scary, it's not that hard, it's not that bad. And like you say, it's such a healing process, isn't it?
Hello, lovely listeners. I just wanted to stop the podcast for a moment and tell you about this wonderful new online community I've discovered just recently. Pagans of the North online magazine is a network for pagans, witches, heathens and others on similar paths in and around the north of England, providing a free online magazine, a blog, a directory and other resources on the website, as well as online courses, offering free advertising for businesses and sellers, highlighting the north of England, but read by people nationally and internationally. It's a great place to find magic in different businesses or connect with like-minded souls, speaking about being a pagan and a witch in the 21st century, as well as all the centuries ago. Every issue is unique and absolutely beautiful. You can subscribe at pagansofthenorth.co.uk for early access to the magazine, news and events coming up, as well as other little sneak peeks and Easter eggs. This is a free magazine, so it's entirely run by volunteers who would love to connect with you. Got a business you want to advertise? Then give us an email. You can email us at pagansofthenorth@gmail.com, and we're always looking for people to write stuff in, from poetry to a subject you're passionate about to a blog post and all kinds of magical subjects. Come aboard, join our little community, make friends and unearth some more magic in your beautiful pagan life.
I've got big plans for the new year.
Are you wanting to share? Is it, are we waiting and seeing?
I need to generate an income. And it is just a fact because I spend so much time on it. It doesn't have to be a big income. I'm thinking about doing meditations, you know, like Yorkshire meditations.
The Yorkshire accent is so trusted.
So I have written a meditation, although I haven't recorded it yet because there's another barrier in me. You know, I'm a bit like, am I going to sound shit?
But I know exactly where you're coming because I felt that. And also that imposter syndrome and self-doubt, like, who do I think I am? And I think there's a lot of witch wound in that, isn't there? As massive, women, we're often told to stay small and people please and don't say what you really feel, but do it anyway.
And then I emphasis with my children. They'll say like, oh, I don't want to do this because so-and-so might think this. And I go, so? Bollocks to them, you know, like people think I'm weird and I don't care because it doesn't affect my life, you know, like be you. And the feeling it, even though I make such a big effort not to pass that on to them.
It's hard. We can't change everything. We can just do the best that we can. That's all we can do until we know better, and then we do better. Yeah, because you can easily look back and say, oh, why didn't I do it like this in the past? Like, we were still doing our best then, weren't we? And we just learn more and do better all the time, which is amazing. I love how the growth is and how we're constantly learning. When I was younger, I thought, oh, you'd leave school and that's your learning finished. But that's when it just starts, isn't it? As an adult, when I'm learning now, I really want to learn it. So I fully learn it. Whereas at school, I wasn't interested in some of the history and geography. But now I am more interested in ancient Egypt than I ever have been, which is, it's just all about timing.
I can't believe I didn't like my history lessons. What was I doing? I was just pissing about, trying to be cool and missing out on stuff.
Maybe it just weren't taught in the way that we needed to learn as well. It weren't engaging enough. And we just weren't ready for it as well, I suppose. So teachers do amazing jobs at what they've got to do. But yeah, it's definitely an outdated system. And I think most teachers know that, but they've got to work within the constraints that they're given.
No, respect. Right, well, thank you for coming on to my little podcast. A website. Have you got a website? What's your website?
Yeah, I do. It's forgottenforest.net is my website. Mm-hmm. Terrible at updating it. In between Christmas and New Year, that's my next job to update that. I do a lot on, I put all my events on my booking site as well. And then I've got Instagram and Facebook, and I don't know what the link is for this new membership. I don't, but I know how to get. Should I send it you? Would that be something that makes sense?
Yeah, and I'll put it in the show notes. Is the membership like a rolling monthly thing?
It is. Yeah, it's going to be a rolling monthly, and you can start whenever you want. You can leave whenever you want. So there's no commitment, and I'll keep adding lots of new things, and I'm hoping to get other people involved and do talks and breath work, journaling, cold water therapy, foraging. Oh, the list of stuff that I've got, I'm so excited. There's so much that I want to do and share, and it's exciting.
Cold water therapy, oh my god. Have you got a bin then that you're dunking?
I have, yeah. And I don't know if you've seen any of my reels, but I do a lot of cold water swimming.
Uh-huh.
It's so good for you. In waterfalls, they're my favourite place to do it. And I like to cook, like wild cook outside as well. Cold water. Nothing makes me feel more alive and like a reset than the cold water. And all the science is there, how good it is for you as well. So
I do actually have a wheelie bin in my back garden with a tap on it. That last year I got into the habit of getting in my wheelie bin.
Amazing. Yeah, I was like, there's no rules how it has to be. It can be however you want. Even cold showers are good, aren't they?
Yeah,
it hurts a bit, doesn't it? You've got to get used to it. The more you do it, the more your body's used to it. If you haven't done it for a while, it's like a big shock again.
What's that Muppet? Gordon the Grouch, is it, or something? Do you remember that green?
Oh yeah, I can't remember his name, but yeah, I do remember him. I can picture him now.
Been. Oh my god, sure, it's like Gordon the Grouch who sits in his little metal bin with bin lid on his head. So there you go, listener, there's a fantastic vision there in your head of me in a wheelie bin. Why not?
You have been listening to the Bellwitch podcast, Witching in the 21st Century, written and produced by me, Swales, a friendly green witch. Official podcast photographer is Beverly Thornton. Music by Jeff Harvey of Pixabay. Made on WavePad Master and distributed via Zencaster. Want to come and guest on the show or got a topic you'd like me to cover? Email me at thebellwitchpodcast@yahoo.com. If you're enjoying the show, please leave me a review. Thank you for listening and stay magical, witches!